Have you ever stood on a ramp and watched something taxi past that your brain simply refuses to scale correctly? Something so large that your eye keeps trying to shrink it because nothing that size is supposed to leave the ground. That's rock. And today we're going to talk about the biggest airplane ever to fly by a pair of billionaires, and now a defense contractor built it, and what it's actually for. This is Radio Hangar, I'm Vector. And this is Clear Direct, the show where we take the machines that sound like science fiction and pull the cowling off to see what's really underneath. Let's break this down. Rock is the carrier aircraft built by a company called Stratolaunch, and the number everyone leads with is the wingspan. 385 feet, tip to tip. Let that sit for a second. A Boeing 747 has a wingspan of about 211 feet. A football field, end zone to end zone, is 300 feet. Rock's wing is longer than the field. It is the single largest wingspan of any aircraft that has ever left the ground, and I don't expect that record to fall anytime soon. The shape is what throws people. It's a twin fuselage design, two complete airplane bodies running parallel, joined by that enormous center wing, with the cockpit up in the right-hand fuselage and the left one flying empty. Six engines. And here's a detail I love. Those six engines, the landing gear, the flight deck, a lot of the systems. They were pulled straight off, two used 747 jetliners. Pratt and Whitney turbofans, the same power plants that hauled passengers across oceans for decades. 28 wheels on the landing gear. 226 tons empty. So why build a twin-hulled monster the size of a stadium? Here's the whole idea in one sentence. Rock is a flying launch pad. Before we go further, this segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. They make aviation challenge coins that mark the real milestones. First solo, private pilot, instrument rated, CFI, the whole journey. Beautifully made and built to last. If you've got a milestone worth remembering, or you know a pilot who does, that's AviationSoul.com. Now, air launch. This is the concept at the heart of everything Stratolaunch does, and it's genuinely one of the more elegant ideas in the crossover between aviation and spaceflight. When you launch a rocket straight up off a pad at sea level, you're fighting for every foot. You're burning enormous amounts of fuel just to climb through the thickest, densest part of the atmosphere. The part right down here where we all fly, you're fighting drag. You're fighting gravity the entire way. And you can only go when the weather over that one fixed pad cooperates, and only in the directions your launch site allows. Air launch changes the starting line. You take your rocket, or in Rock's case, your hypersonic test vehicle, and you bolt it to the belly of the airplane between those two fuselages. Then the airplane does what airplanes are good at. It climbs efficiently on wings using air-breathing engines, up to around 35,000 feet. Cruise altitude, above most of the weather, above the thickest air. And then it drops the vehicle. The rocket falls clear, its own motor lights, and it starts its real job from 35,000 feet and already moving at a few hundred knots, instead of from a standstill on the ground. Here's what most people miss about why that matters. It isn't mainly about the altitude or the speed you get for free, though those help. It's about flexibility. Your launch point is wherever the airplane can fly. You can launch north, south, east, or west by just pointing the airplane. You can fly around a weather system instead of scrubbing for it. The runway becomes your spaceport. And any long runway will do the data. Tells an interesting story here, though. And this is where I promise you honesty. Air launch has been tried seriously for decades, and it has never taken over the world. There's a rocket called Pegasus, airdropped from a modified airliner that's been flying since 1990. It works, it's also expensive per pound to orbit, and it's small. And that's the fundamental tension. The bigger the rocket you want to air launch, the bigger the airplane you need to carry it, and airplanes that size get very hard and very costly. Very fast. Which brings us right back to how Stratolaunch was born and how its mission completely changed underneath it. The company was founded in 2011 by Paul Allen. Yes, that Paul Allen, the man who co-founded Microsoft, Allen had a real lifelong love of aerospace. He'd already funded Spaceship One, the little rocket plane that won the Ansari X Prize back in 2004 for the first privately funded crewed flight to the edge of space. And that program, by the way, used air launch too. A carrier plane called White Knight hauled Spaceship One up to altitude and dropped it. So Allen had seen the concept work with his own money. His vision for Stratolaunch was bigger, much bigger. The original plan was for Rock to carry large orbital rockets, real satellite launchers, up to altitude and drop them. A flexible airborne launch system for putting things into orbit from anywhere. Then two things happened. Paul Allen died in 2018 before he ever saw his airplane fly. and the orbital launch market changed completely. While Rock was being built in the desert at Mojave, a company called SpaceX was busy landing rocket boosters back on the pad and flying them again. The economics of getting to orbit fell through the floor, and the case for a giant, complicated carrier airplane to launch medium-sized orbital rockets got a lot weaker. Rock flew for the first time in April of 2019 out of Mojave. Just months after Allen's death, it got airborne, it handled, it came home, a genuine engineering triumph. And it was, in a sense, an airplane in search of a mission. The company was sold. New ownership, backed by a private investment firm, took a hard look at the market and made a smart call. They stopped chasing orbit, and they pointed Rock at a problem that is red hot right now, both figuratively and literally, hypersonics. Let's define that, because the word gets thrown around loosely. Hypersonic means faster than Mach 5, five times the speed of sound and up. At those speeds, the physics change. The air doesn't just flow around your vehicle, it piles up, compresses, and heats to temperatures that will destroy ordinary materials. The airflow chemistry changes, controlling a vehicle in that regime, keeping it from burning up, keeping it pointed where you want, is one of the hardest problems in aerospace right now. The United States military wants hypersonic weapons and hypersonic defenses, and to build any of that, you have to test, over and over, in real flight, in real air, because no wind tunnel on Earth can fully reproduce those conditions, and that testing is a bottleneck. It's slow, it's expensive, and there simply aren't enough flights. Historically, you might get a handful of hypersonic test shots a year across the entire country. Here's where Rock suddenly makes perfect sense. Stratolaunch now builds a vehicle called Talon A. It's a rocket-powered, uncrewed hypersonic aircraft, roughly the size of a small airplane with stubby wings. Rock carries it up to altitude, drops it, the Talon lights its rocket motor, and accelerates past Mach 5. It flies a test profile. It carries experiments, sensors, whatever a customer needs to prove out at hypersonic speed. And this is the key part. It's designed to be recovered and flown again, resubal hypersonic testing. That's the pitch. Instead of one heroic throwaway test shot a year, you get a testbed you can turn around and fly repeatedly, off a runway at a fraction of the cost of a full-up missile launch. And they've started delivering. In 2024, Talon A vehicles flew and reached hypersonic speeds. One of them was recovered after flight. They flew again, for a company that spent years as a magnificent airplane without a job. That is a real, measurable turn. The data tells the story, actual hypersonic flights, actual recoveries, actual repeat missions. Not a slide deck, hardware in the air. So let's be balanced, because that's the whole point of this show. The promise is real. Rock gives you a reusable, flexible, air-launched platform for hypersonic testing at a moment when the country genuinely cannot get enough of it. Air launch, for this specific job, plays to all its strengths. You want to launch from different points, at different headings, on a flexible schedule? An airplane does that beautifully. The vehicle you're dropping is relatively small, so the carrier size actually works. And reusability attacks the exact pain point, cost and flight rate, that's been strangling hypersonic research. Now the caveats. And there are always caveats. There is exactly one Rock, one airplane. If that aircraft is down for maintenance, the whole system is down. A single point of failure the size of a football field. Stratolaunch has talked about a second carrier and has looked at other aircraft too. But for now, one airplane carries the entire concept on its wing. Second, this is a niche. A valuable niche, maybe a very lucrative one, but it is defense-driven hypersonic testing, not the grand vision of launching satellites for the world that the company started with. The mission got smaller and more specialized. Whether that's a calm down or simply good business depends on how you look at it. I'd argue it's good business. Find the problem you can actually solve and go solve it. Third, hypersonics as a field is hard, expensive, and dependent on defense budgets that can shift. The customer here is largely the US government and its contractors. That's a stable customer, but it's one customer, more or less, and priorities change. And fourth, the honest timeline. Rock is flying. Talon A is flying and reaching hypersonic speeds and being recovered. This is not vaporware, and I want to be clear about that because I spend half this show warning you about vaporware. But the leap from a few successful test flights to a high-cadence, routine, turn-it-around-in-days operational testbed is a big one. That's the promise they're selling. The next couple of years are where we find out whether the flight rate actually materializes or whether recovering and reflying a vehicle that's been to Mach 5 turns out to be harder and slower than the pitch suggests. Reusability is easy to draw and hard to do. Ask anyone who's rebuilt a rocket engine. Here's the thing I keep coming back to as an engineer. Rock is the purest example I know of an airplane that outlived its original reason to exist and found a better one. It was built to launch satellites in a world that stopped needing it to. And instead of becoming a museum piece or a punchline, it got repurposed into exactly the tool a hard new problem required. The wing didn't change. The mission did. There's something deeply aviation about that. We've been hanging new jobs on good airframes for 100 years. The Douglas DC-3 became a paratrooper. The 747 that gave Rock its engines became a freighter, a tanker, a launch platform for a space telescope's cousin. Airframes are patient. They wait for the mission to catch up. And the concept at the center of it, air launch, is worth sitting with too. It's the marriage of the two things this show lives at the intersection of wings and rockets. The airplane does the part airplanes are good at, patiently climbing through the thick air on efficient wings. The rocket does the part rockets are good at, the violent sprint to hypersonic speed, neither one trying to do the other's job. That's good systems thinking. That's putting each machine where it's strong. Whether Rock ends up flying dozens of times a year or becomes a fascinating footnote, the idea it embodies isn't going away. The next time you watch a big jet rotate off a long runway, picture that same climb, that same wing, but with a hypersonic vehicle tucked underneath, riding up to altitude for free before it ever lights a motor. That's not a rendering, that's happening right now, out of the high desert. My thanks to Stratolaunch for the flight data and the specifications, and to the broader coverage in the aerospace and defense press that's tracked the Talonade test campaign, flight by flight. You can find us anytime at RadioHangar.com. And the next time somebody tells you the biggest airplane ever built never found a job, you'll know the rest of the story. I'm Vector. Keep looking up and keep asking how it works. Clear, direct.